Well, what I will do now, of course, is to say, turn with me, if you will. And I got an introduction that I'm going to make. So turn with me, if you will, to the end of the book of Numbers. And last week, as it turns out, was technically another one of those double portions. And we would have finished the book of Numbers. There was a lot of other stuff in the last part of chapter 30, of course, which is one of my favorites, that I wasn't anxious to do a double portion and wanted to go ahead and finish this week. But also, of course, because we don't want to get behind, that means we will do a bit of a double portion this week into the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy. And of course, that is one of the most important books in the Torah. They're all important, but Devarim is kind of considered to be the heart of the Torah, simply because it is a synopsis of so much of the rest of the time in the wilderness, particularly from Exodus onward. So what we'll do is I'll go through the chapter 33 through the end of the book of Bamidbar, or Numbers, relatively quickly. I won't read it all, but I'll summarize it. And this is a good place to summarize, because essentially it's divided into a couple sections, and the sections include a lot of information that is important. I do encourage you to read it, but and to the extent that it's kind of a listing, that's what we have. And it says this in the beginning. So turn to chapter 33, and it says these are the stages. Masai. These are the stages of the B'nai Israel, by which they went forth out of the land of Egypt, under their hosts, by their hosts, under the hand of Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe wrote their songs, their goings forth stage by stage at the commandment of Yahuwah. There were 42 different places that were listed, and they went out from Ramses the first month, the 15th day of the month, the morrow after the Passover. And then essentially they, and this was in a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians, and thereafter we get a list of the places that they'd journeyed for. So from Ramses to Sukkot to Etam, and then to a whole bunch of other places that essentially ended up where, as you know, they spent a lot of time around the mountain. We're going to see that that reviewed this week, Mount Sinai. Then they journeyed and pitched at Hazerot, and eventually they went to Hashmonah, and then Maserot. And from there on and on, we got to several pages of places where they went. Again, 42 of them, if I remember right, in all. I believe that's right, yep. And finally, they pitched by the River Jordan, from Bet Yeshimot, even unto Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. And there it says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. And he said, speak to the B'nai Israel and say to them, when you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you're going to drive out all the inhabitants of the land, destroy all their molten, all their figured stones, destroy their molten images, demolish all their high places, drive them out, dwell there, because I have given you the land to possess it. You'll inherit according to the families. And but if you won't do that, if you won't drive them all out, they're going to be kind of like thorns in your sides, pricks in your sides. They will harass you in the land wherein you dwell. And, of course, that's not only prophetic. That turns out to be precisely what happened. Then we're going to get an indication of the borders. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and said, command the children of Israel, say, when you come into the land, here is the place that will fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan, according to the borders thereof. So we get a lengthy description of the borders. And I guess it's interesting to note that the largest extent of the kingdom was under first King David, and then literally under his son Shlomo, Solomon. And that was as big as the kingdom got. And then after that, of course, it split into two. But it never did really reach the borders that were prophesied, and that it will at some point. Finally, then, when they get there, we get this idea that this is the land you're going to receive. Remember, it's going to be divided by lot. And we have the two and a half tribes, the tribe of Reuben and Gad that are named, and the half tribe of Manasseh on the other side of the river. And then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, all right, here we go. These are the names by the tribes of the men that will take possession of the land for you. And we're going to get, again, the names of the men from each of the 12 tribes. And, of course, because there are more than 12 tribes, there literally are the two sons of Joseph that are named. And in this case, we're going to get the names of Judah as well, because Judah, while it does not go to war, does have a leader. And the leader there, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua, son of Nun. Then the final chapter in the book talks about the Levites have a possession, and these are going to be the sixth city of refuge where the manslayer will flee. Besides them, I will give you 42 cities, and all these cities will be appointed as places of refuge where the manslayer that kills somebody through error can go and flee. And of course, we know that he will be there until the time of the death of the high priests. And after that, he can come back. But if he doesn't get there, if he doesn't make it to the cities of refuge, well, he is subject to being killed by the Avenger of Blood. And finally, chapter 36, the daughters of Zelophehad are mentioned again. And remember, they are going to inherit because their father didn't have any sons, but they're going to be married to those who they think best, only it needs to be of the family of the tribe of their father. So the book ends by saying, even as Yahuwah commanded Moshe, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. Amala, Tirza, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters, were married unto their father's brother's sons, into the families of the sons of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and thus their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. And finally, the last verse in the book says, these are the commandments and the ordinances. Okay, so that word, of course, is mitzvot and ha-mishpatim, the two of the three words that have to do with statutes and judgments and commandments, by which, or which Yahuwah commanded by the hand of Moshe unto the Bnei Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. And with that, the book of Bamidbar, or Numbers, ends. And you remember the traditional phrase that's used after that is Kazakh, Kazakh, Venit Kazakh. And of course, Kazakh is the word that has the root understanding of be strong and of good courage. And of course, I always like that because I think it's a great summary. All right, so with that, what I want to do is continue. And we'll continue with the reading, which is tonight, and we'll do it as the second portion of the two. And this, of course, is the final book in the Torah. It is sometimes known as the second synopsis of the instruction, or Devarim. And it's, these are the words. So that's where the word Devarim come from. Literally, the words or the sayings. These are HaDevarim, which Moshe spoke unto Kol Israel, beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah, over against Suf, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazarot, and Diz-Ahab. And it's interesting because the commentary from Rashi essentially says some of these places, probably the best way to think of them is not necessarily real physical places, but spiritual places or places that have a meaning in terms of something that maybe to some extent we'll still see it. But the point is made in the second verse. It's 11 days' journey, not very far, in other words, from Horeb unto Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. 11 days' journey. And yet, it took them 40 years. And we've seen multiple sets of books at this point, from Exodus on up until here, that have given us a pretty good understanding of why that is. But what we're going to see now, and this is why I think Devarim is interesting. Devarim is literally the speech that we're going to see that Moshe gives, and it's written in a different person. In other words, it's written essentially in the first person by Moshe. And one way to think of it, again, is as a speech that he's giving, but still there's that first person aspect to it. And as such, it's kind of a retelling. A lot of the commandments we're going to see here are repeated. Devarim is interesting for a number of reasons. One, as I've pointed out, I like to note every year, it is the most quoted of all the books of Scripture by the founders in the founding era and the committees of correspondence and during the entire time of the writing of the Declaration of Independence and Constitution. In other words, a lot of the English common law comes right smack out of the pages of Devarim or Deuteronomy. So it has a fundamental nature in terms of our understanding of the law. And as a matter of fact, sometimes you'll hear it referred to as the law. I don't have a problem with the term Torah being translated as law, except that it's diminutive. Torah means more than just law. So to say that Torah is only law is a mistranslation. It includes law, but it's bigger than law. It's like saying, all horses are animals, but if you claim that horses represent all of the animals in the universe, no, that's not right. Animals is a much bigger term than horses, and that is true with Torah. It's a bigger term than just law or even statutes, judgments, and commandments. And we're going to see that because part of the telling here of Deuteronomy of Devarim is the story that Moshe is going to complete at this point. So, came to pass, it says, and this is again Moshe, he spoke these words, in the 40th year, 11th month, first day of the month, Moshe spoke to the B'nai Israel, according to all that Yahuwah had commanded him, had given him, essentially, in commandment, after he had smitten Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and that big dude, right, Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth at Edrei. Beyond the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moshe took it upon himself to expound this Torah, this instruction, and he said the following. Yahuwah Arel spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn now. In other words, time to head them up and move them out. Take your journey, go into the hill country of the Amorites, all the places nigh thereunto, in the Arabah, in the hill country, the lowland in the south, by the seashore, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. So behold, he says, I have given, and it's interesting, it's past tense. I have set the land before you. Go in, possess the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after him. So time to go and do what it is you've been waiting 40 years to go do. And says Moshe, I spoke to you back then, saying, I'm not able to bear you myself alone. Yahuwah has multiplied you. Behold, you're as this day, like the stars of heaven for multitude. So Yahuwah, Elohim of your fathers, may he make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you, as he's promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance, and your burden, and your strife? So, get yourselves, each one of you, of your tribes, wise men of understanding, full of knowledge, and I'll make them heads over you. So again, he's recounting the story of this idea of delegation of authority that we saw, and this was the suggestion of his father-in-law, Yitro, as you recall. And he answered me, Yahuwah did, and said, the thing which you've spoken is good for us to do. So, says Moshe, I took the heads of your tribes, wise men, full of knowledge, made them heads over you. Captains of thousands, captains of hundreds and of fifties, captains of tens, and officers, tribe by tribe. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between you and your brethren, judge righteously between a man and his brother, and the stranger that's with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment. You'll hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be afraid of the face of any man, for Elohim's is the judgment. In other words, his is the real judgment here. He is the judge, right? And any cause that's too great for you, you bring it to me, and I'll hear it. So the idea is to do righteous judgment. What a concept, right? How different than what we have today with these black-robed priests of Satan that could care less what God said or even what the law says that's written down, that they took an oath before that God that they don't believe in. Because if they did, they wouldn't act the way they do. Back to Moshe. He says, I have commanded you at that time all the things you should do. And notice, this is the thing that's so fascinating, folks. These are people that are walking in obedience at this time, even though we can't escape the prophetic understanding, and Moses is going to tell them too, I know that this isn't going to last. And he's right. That's poignant as well today. So we journeyed from Horeb, went through all that great and dreadful wilderness which you saw by the way of the hill country, the Amorites, as Yahuwah our El commanders. We came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you've come unto the hill country of the Amorites, which Yahuwah our El is giving to us. Behold, Yahuwah your El has set the land before you. Go up, take possession. As Yahuwah your El has spoken unto you, fear not, and neither be dismayed. And yet you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, let's send men before us, that they may search out the land for us, right? The story of the spies, the tour. And bring us back word by way which we must go up, and in the cities in which we will come. In other words, we want to check things out first. Well, that was fine. It pleased me well, he says. So I took 12 men of you, one man from every tribe. They turned, they went up to the mountains. They came under the valley of Eshcol, right? Spied out. This is the place where the big grapes were. They took the fruit of the land in their hands. They brought it down. Brought us back word, and they said, this is great land. This is good land, which Yahuwah our El is giving us. But still, says Moses, you wouldn't go up. But you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah your El. Now, remember, this is the royal you, simply because at this point, all of the people who were physically, well, over the age of 20 at least, old enough to know better, that heard that, they're dead. So you includes a lot of people whose carcasses, as prophesied, fell in the wilderness. Still, he says, you murmured in your tents and said, because you hates us, he's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us to the Amorites to destroy us. Why are we going to go up? Our brethren have made our heart to melt, saying, these people are greater and bigger and taller and scarier than we are. The cities are great. They're fortified up to the heavens. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. So these are the big dudes, the giants. Then I said to you, dread not, nor be afraid of them. Yehoiarel, it's he who goes before you. He'll fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So you ought to know better. And Bamidbar in the wilderness, where you've seen how it is that Yahuwah bore you as a man bears his son in the way that you went until you came all the way to this place. Yet in this thing, you do not, notice he uses the present tense there, you do not believe Yehoiarel, who went before you in the way to seek out a place to pitch your tents in, in fire by night to show you by what way you should go, in a pillar of cloud by day. Yahuwah heard the voice of your words. He was kind of PO'd, right? He was wroth, and he swore, saying, surely not one of these men, not even this evil generation, not a man of it, will see the good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except those two, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he'll see it. And to him I'll give the land that he's trodden upon, and to his children, because he has wholly followed Yahuwah. And he says, also, Yahuwah was angry with me for your sakes, saying, you shall not go in there either. Now, this is probably not quite as much of a mea culpa as he uses earlier when he gets through this. But he does note that Joshua, son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. You encourage him, because he will cause Israel to inherit this thing that was promised, a promised land. Moreover, your little ones, remember, you said they'd be a prey, your children. This day they have no knowledge, he says, of good or evil. Now, that's an interesting phrase. Remember, of course, we know the phrase that it references. Sounds like it's right out of Genesis, and this knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Your young ones, it says, your children, rather than being a prey, they have no knowledge of good and evil. They'll go in there, and they'll possess the land. And sure enough, I'm going to give it to them. But as for you, turn, take your journey into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. So he's, again, describing what happened. Then all of you answered and said to me, we've sinned against Yahuwah. We'll go up and fight. Yeah, now that it's too late. According to all that Yahuwah, our God, commanded us. And every man girded on his weapons of war. He deemed it a light thing to go up into the hill country. All right? Yahuwah said to me, tell them, warn them, don't go up there, don't fight, because I'm not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So, he says, I spoke to you. You didn't hearken, but you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah. You were presumptuous. You went up in the hill country, and the Amorites that dwell up there, they came out against you. They chased you like bees, beat you down in Seir, even unto Hormath. And you returned, and you wept before Yahuwah. But Yahuwah didn't hearken to your voice, because he basically told you so, nor did he give ear to you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according to the days that you abode there. And then he says, we turn. So again, notice what he's doing. This is the second chapter, but it's a continuation of the story. Moshe is recounting the story of how they got here. And most of them know this, but it's a great retelling, and it's also, of course, an introduction to the rest of the book and the Torah. So he says, we turned. We took our journey into the Bamidbar, into the wilderness, by way of the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, as Yahuwah spoke to me, and we encompassed, or we basically stayed in the vicinity of Mount Seir many days. And Yahuwah spoke to me, and he said, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Head back north. Command you the people, saying, you are to pass through the border of your brethren, the children of Esau, that dwell in Seir. They'll be afraid of you. Take your good heed to yourselves, therefore. Do not fight with them. Do not contend with them, because I'm not going to give you their land. Nope. Not so much as the sole of the foot to tread on, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Now, you buy food from them, that's fine, for silver that you can eat. You'll also buy water from them for silver, for kesef. Some English renderings say money, but it's really silver, because silver is money, so that you may drink. Because Yehuiarel has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, Yahuwah has been with you. You've lacked for nothing. So, we pass by from our brethren, the children of Esau, that dwell in Seir, by way of Arabah, from Eilat, and from Etzion Geber, and we turn and we pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And there it says, Yahuwah said to me, be not at enmity with Moab, neither contend with them in battle, for I'm not going to give you of his land either for possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for possession. So, all the way back to Genesis, the sons of Lot, that essentially are the Moabites, they have that land. The Amim, that would be those big other dudes, they dwelt there, a people great, many and tall, like the Anakim. These also are accounted as Rephaim, as are the Anakim, but the Moabites have a different name. They call them Amim. But regardless, folks, they're giants. And in Seir dwelt the Horites before times, and the children of Esau succeeded them, and they destroyed them from before them. So just like the people you're going to dispossess, the children of Esau dispossessed the Horites. They dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which Yahuwah gave unto them. So he says, rise up, get over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. And the days in which we came from Kadesh Barnea till we were come over that brook Zered were 38 years. Till all this generation, all those men who were of the age of war, above the age of 20, were consumed from the midst of the camp, as Yahuwah warned them, swore unto them. Moreover, the hand of Yahuwah was against them to discomfit them from the midst of the camp until ultimately they were consumed, every one of them except those two, Joshua and Caleb. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, Yahuwah spoke to me, and he said the following, you are this day to pass over the border of Moab, even Ar. And when you come nigh over against the children of Ammon, again, don't harass them nor contend with them, because I'm not going to give you of the land of the children of Ammon for a possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for their possession. That also is accounted a land of Rephaim. So these are the descendants of the descendants of the half-breeds, the men of renown, those that were descended from the Nephilim. Rephaim dwelt there before. The Ammonites, though, they called them the Zamzumim. People great and many and tall. Yep, these are giants too, like the Anakim. But Yahuwah destroyed them from before those folks, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. So we've seen a couple of examples now of Moabites and also of the sons of Esau that have dispossessed other folks, including giants, and taken their land. As Yahuwah did for the children of Esau that dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them, and they succeeded those folks and dwelt in their stead. And the Avim that dwelt in villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim that came forth out of Kaphtor and destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. So, see, there are precedents here. You rise up, take your journey, pass over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, contend with him in battle. So that's that's something that's already happened. This day, he says, I will begin to put the fear of you and the dread of you upon those peoples under the entirety of the heavens. And when they hear the report of you, they're going to be terrified. You're going to strike fear into their very hearts. They'll tremble. They'll be in anguish because of you and what they've heard. So, says Moshe, I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemot to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, right? We offered him peace first. I said, let me pass through your land. I'll go by the highway. I won't turn to the right hand or the left. Sell me food in exchange for silver. I can eat. Give me water in exchange for silver so we can drink. Just let me pass through your land. But no! As the children of Esau that dwelt in Seir and the Moabites that dwelt in Ar did unto me, till I shall pass over the Jordan unto the land which Yahuwah our God has given us. But, he says, Sihon, king of Heshbon, wouldn't let us pass by him. Yahuwah, in fact, as it turned out, had hardened his heart.
Similar, but not identical, to Pharaoh.
And this word is hardened his spirit, actually, not his heart, his spirit, and made his heart obstinate. Again, very, very similar to what happened with Pharaoh, that he might deliver him into your hands, as appears this day. So Yahuwah said to me, behold, I've begun now to deliver up Sihon and his land before you. Begin the process of possessing his land. So, remember, Sion came out against us, he and all of his people, to battle at Yahaz, and Yehuah-R-El delivered him up before us. We smote him and his sons and all his people, took all of his cities at that point, destroyed every city, all of them, whacked them, the men, the women, the little ones. We didn't leave anyone remaining. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves with the spoil of the cities that we had taken. From Orer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and from the city that's in the valley, even unto Gilead, wasn't a city too high for us, and Yehuah-R-El delivered all of them up before us. Only to the land of the children of Ammon did you not come near. All that side of the river, Yabbok, and the cities of the hill country, and wheresoever Yehuah-R-El forbade us. So we didn't take the places he said don't, but we took the rest, at least so far. Then he says we turned. We went up the way to Bashan, and we remember this story too, right? Og, the dude, the big, tall dude, had a huge bed, so forth. He is the king of Bashan. He came out against us, all of his people, and the battle was at Edrei. And Yahuwah said, fear him not, because I've delivered him and all his people into your hand too, and you'll do unto him just like you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, at Heshbon. So Yehuah-R-El delivered into our hand Og also, king of Bashan, all his people. We smote him till there was no one left to him remaining. We took all of his cities at that time. It wasn't a city which we didn't take. 70 cities. So basically 60 cities from the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All of these, they were fortified cities, high walls, gates, and bars, besides the unwalled towns, of which there were a whole lot. And we utterly destroyed them, just like we did Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying every city, the men, the women, and yes, the little ones. All the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey unto ourselves. We took the land at that time out of the hand of those two kings of the Amorites beyond the Jordan, from the valley of Arnon to Mount Hermon, which Hermon, the Sidonians called Sirion, and the Amorites called it Senir. So we got different names for the places. But all the cities of the plain, all of Gilead, all Bashan, unto Salcah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. Because only Og of Bashan remained of the remnant of the Rephaim. So he is pretty much the last of the Rephaim. Behold, and he's going to remind us here, his bedstead was a bedstead made out of iron, isn't it, in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits long. So that's basically 13.5 feet was how long this thing was. 4 cubits wide, the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. This land we took in possession at that time from Orer by the valley of Arnon, the hill country of Gilead and the cities thereof that I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead, all of Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave that to the half-tribe of Manasseh and Argob, all of Bashan. It's called the land of Rephaim. So we just heard this here a couple weeks back at the end of a previous story when they took all of these places. Yair, son of Manasseh, took the Argob region, the border of the Geshurites and the Maachites, called them Bashan after his own name, Havat Yair. Unto this day. Now I gave Gilead to Machir, and unto the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave from Gilead to the city of Arnon, the middle of the valley, for a border, even the valley of the river Yabbok, the border of the children of Ammon, from Araba also, the Jordan is the border there, from Chinnereth, even unto the sea of Araba, the salt sea, and the slopes of Pisgah to the east. And I commanded you back then, and I said the following, Yehuah-R-El has given you this land to possess it, you pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all the men of valor. So this was the deal. Remember those 2.5 tribes. You are going to pass over armed first. You will make sure all of the others of your brethren have their inheritance before you return to that land on the other side of the Jordan. Your wives, though, and your children, your little one, your cattle, I know you have a lot of cattle, they will abide in your cities which I've given you until Yahuwah gives rest to your brethren and you, and they also possess the land which Yahuwah has given you beyond the Jordan. Then every man will return to his possession, which I have given you. So we're almost at the end of the portion. Again, this is another recap of a story we've heard. We're going to get more recap, and of course we're going to get a lot of recap as we go through this book of the entirety of the Torah, including a lot of the statutes and judgments and commandments as well. But it finishes the portion for this week that's the kind of the double portion. It's a little bit different than the standard reading, but I think hopefully people see why it is that maybe this makes sense. I commanded Joshua at that time, he concludes, saying, your eyes have seen all that Yehuah-R-El has done to those two kings. So, this is what Yahuwah will do unto all of the kingdoms that you are going over to possess. You shall not fear them, for Yehoiarel, he is the one that fights for you. Amen. So we have a recap, part of the purpose of which is to remind them that when it was necessary and when Yah was fighting for them, they kicked butt and took names. They took all of that land on the east side of the Jordan, and now they're going to go into the land and they're going to take that too. And they have a proof text to demonstrate that it is in fact exactly what Yah is capable of doing. So with that, he says, fear not. He, it is Yahuwah, who fights for you.